The president's executive order on immigration includes a reorganization plan for immigration and customs enforcement. It creates three new law enforcement task forces along the U.S.-Mexico border. John Adler's national president of the Federal Law Enforcement Officers Association. He is watching to see exactly how the 10-point plan from the White House will affect his members. John, it's great to have you on the program as always. When the president gave his speech and talked about these changes that would impact the law enforcement community, I imagine that was your first question, was how. In the subsequent days, what have you learned about how the law enforcement community and government will be affected by these changes? Thanks for coming on.
My pleasure, Francis, and you're absolutely right. My first response was how, and is this temporary or will it be permanent? And the reason being, obviously, what's at stake is very important, but also when you commit resources to put certain systems in play, you need a long-term commitment to make them work. First, you know, and sort of chopping it up here, we've got the piece about the creation of the three task forces. And then we have the second piece, which is a commitment to perform some research and a review of the pay compensation system for our officers in ICE ERO, Enforcement Removal Operations. Very important topic. I'm glad it's being addressed. There are serious issues regarding their pay structure after the fallout over the AUO, which is a premium pay system controversy. That's an important initiative born out of this. It does have a deadline of December to come back with results, which is good. But the first part, Francis, I imagine you're interested in, is the creation of these three new task forces, and certainly from my perspective, how it'll impact my members, but also will they be effective? Will they accomplish the goals set forth? And will they last?
Well, and those I know are the $64 million questions right now, John. When you look at the structure that we know about so far, what do we know about that structure? And what do you think about the possibilities, the questions you just raised?
Yeah, I think, Francis, my assessment, what has been in play has been a lot of good intentions, but maybe a couple of things could have been tweaked or addressed. One, obviously, you know the old saying, you can't borrow from Peter to pay Paul.
Right.
Well, you know, the priority is obviously down at the border, and I say down at the border, you know, all the issues coming across, whether it's human trafficking or guns, drugs, and or just pathway for terrorists to come here. So that obviously requires a lot of our assets, our law enforcement assets, our technology, our intel, and so forth. The thing is that you just can't wave a magic wand and have these things materialize out of nowhere. Certainly in the case of ICE and CBP, more so perhaps ICE, you're allocating your assets down there, which you have to sort of then consider, well, what's being left in that wake? You know, what investigative areas are now being left unaddressed by shifting your assets? So, I mean, it's always a concern, again, to make sure you have enough resources to cover all your priorities. Another thing is the command structure. You know, what we're obviously doing here is we're pulling into play ICE, CBP, the Coast Guard, and of equal importance, state and local law enforcement components. So when you're bringing in fingers of the hand can be dysfunctional or it can be incredibly talented and able. And really, ultimately, is, you know, what are the neurons and the tendons and so forth that pull all the fingers together to make a unified fist and operate effectively? A lot of that has to do with command structure. It also has to do with getting the commitment from state and local law enforcement components, making sure they have the funding and the resources to participate in these task forces. But my concern in terms of representing members is, do all of our members know what the rules are up front? And what I mean by that, Francis, is you're talking about shifting assets, and perhaps justifiably, or just justifiably, I'll remove the word perhaps, to the priority area of the border. Now, you know, they're proposing a joint task force west, a joint task force east, and an investigative task force, as was written in the Federal News Radio article very well. And the question is that in sort of finding these assets to fill these task force areas, what are the rules of engagement up front, meaning what is the time commitment, what are the resources? It obviously will involve relocating law enforcement personnel to cover these areas. What's the command structure? And these are things that if they're documented well, if these things are properly put in place, the task forces will more than likely operate efficiently. But we sort of need to know these things up front before the green button gets pushed and everything goes into go mode.
John Adler of the Federal Law Enforcement Officers Association. What is your sense of what these task forces replace? My colleague, Jory Heckman, writes on federalnewsradio.com that they will include agents from the Coast Guard, CBP, ICE, and CIS, I have a hard time believing that those agencies weren't already collaborating. I hope they certainly were not operating in vacuums before now. So do we know yet what will be different about how these Joint Task Force West, Joint Task Force East, and Task Force Investigations will operate differently than what they're doing now?
Yeah, you know, you're absolutely right, Francis, and not to play on perhaps the pun of your last name, but a rose by a different name is still a rose. Maybe the thorns will be sharpened differently in this case, certainly in repelling or engaging in the border issues. But you're absolutely right. So the question is this: what's going to be done differently? Now, what they already have in place is a task force called BEST, B-E-S-T, the Border Enforcement Security Task Force. But that has the same players involved in these three components. The difference is that is predominantly maritime-based. So this is sort of now taking it from just that one premier task force, and now we're taking this Joint Task Force West to focus almost exclusively on the border as well as the West Coast, whereas the East Coast Task Force is going to sort of function more in terms of what the BEST has been doing in terms of the crossings by maritime or by sea. Now, the third part is very important, too, because they're calling it the Task Force Investigations. But what we really need to do is, on the one hand, we're sort of going to be pulling from some of ICE HSI's assets, but also on the CBP side. And I think one of the things we've been advocating for is to build up the investigative piece of CBP as well, you know, where it has been predominantly Border Patrol and inspection-oriented and officer-oriented. So how do they avoid sort of duplication of what's being done? I think what they're trying to improve upon, Francis, irrespective of the different naming and the geographic targeting of the task force names, is the command structure. The command structure is critical. You know, if we don't have synchronicity, we've got basically, you know, a task force with two left legs and two left thumbs. Not that we've had that before, but I think what their assessment is that they're going to make the operations a hell of a lot more efficient by improving upon the command structure and how these task forces are run.
John, we spent a lot of our time talking about the task forces, and I'm glad because that's important. We didn't have much time, and we're almost out of it, to talk about the pay review structure at ICE's Office of Enforcement Removal Operations. In the minute or so we have left, what are the highlights that you would like to see come out of that review? What are the important things that you think that review should address?
Again, fallout from the collateral damage of this AUO comprehensive study. Certain ERO assets at headquarters and training were impacted. They lost their access to AUO, administratively uncontrollable overtime, a premium pay vehicle. I think what Secretary Johnson is doing wisely is he's now looking at the work that's carried out by all of these officers, these agents, to ensure that the premium pay is available based on recognition of what their current mission is, not an old mission, not a pre-9/11 mission. So we want to make sure that we marry the work that's being done, the mission, recognition of the national security piece, to ensure that premium pay is available and not lost due to some antiquated statute of yesteryear that would otherwise preclude law enforcement professionals from getting paid what they should be paid.